What's Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, we continue broadcasting live from St. Joe. Chiefs training camp practice wrapped up about an hour or so ago. We had Xavier Worthy join us. If you missed that conversation, we'll bring that back for you around 1:35 or so. A couple of highlights today. Well, one, the offensive line, same lineup and rotation that we've seen, right? Simmons at left tackle with the ones. Jalen Moore, right tackle with the ones. We did see Omar Norman-Lott once again get a lot of work with the first team, which is obviously a great sign potentially. Now, no pads or anything like that at this point in time. We also did hear from Andy Reid, who said, yeah, Travis Kelce, he looks like he's 20 when he was asked about the shape that Travis Kelce is in. And if you're wondering just how the backfield has been situated so far at camp, Pacheco has been the guy getting the first reps, followed by Kareem Hunt, followed by Elijah Mitchell, and then the rookie, Rashard Smith.
Ooh, I got two of those guys in my camp, darling. I got to pay
attention. We did eliminate somebody from Camp Island, darling, today. Yes, it did happen.
Jaquarius Bivey. We hardly knew you.
He's coming back in 2 weeks, I'm telling
you'll
you.
You'll see. You'll see. He gets a touchdown in a preseason game. He might get to re-enter. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals off today after winning their series against the Cubs last night. Obviously, the home run fest post-All-Star break continues. Vinny hit a pair. Tyler Tolbert got one. That's 2 days after Salvi had hit a pair as well. Royals have been homer happy here lately. Big series coming up starting tomorrow against the Cleveland Guardians. Their Friday night game has been moved to Apple TV.
Yeah.
So they'll be over there as well. But a massive series because this is a team that is not only ahead of you in the standings by 2.5 games, but you've been playing all NL teams. You want to actually play some real catch-up? You better win the series against the Guardians this weekend. And look, you and I are not saying it from a we think it's going to change our opinion on the team. But if they're saying we got to, and I heard Vinny in postgame last night, was we got to make the decision on them on Seth Lugo hard, I would start by winning the Cleveland Guardians series or sweeping, you know, if you want to make it hard.
1 hour from now, we're going to be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. We'll ask him about what just happened in Chicago. Of course, look ahead to the trade deadline and this weekend against Cleveland. Next up on What's Trending, we've mentioned it a couple times today, but Hulk Hogan has passed away at the age of 71. Obviously, one of the biggest stars, period, in wrestling. One of the biggest pop culture icons over the last 50 years or so. Big reason why wrestling is what it is today, going back to the 80s and in the 90s, obviously, with WrestleMania. When you think about wrestling, Hulk Hogan is one of the first names that comes to mind. He also was in a couple movies. Reports were that he unfortunately suffered cardiac arrest this morning at his home in Florida.
Next up on What's Trending, Eli Drinkwitz gets an extension to remain the Missouri Tigers head coach through the 2029 season. Obviously, we know that that means a lot for recruiting, but Eli has done some winning there in Missouri. The question is, can they take that next step would be the question. Last year, on paper, based on schedule and talent, appeared to be one of those years we thought they could be one of the final 12 teams in the college football playoff. They came up well short of that. Honestly, but not well short, but they came up short of that because of some early season struggles. But Eli Drinkwitz gets an extension to remain the Tigers head coach through 2029.
This last one on What's Trending, Drew added last minute. He told me in my ear, hey, see what I just added as number 5 on What's Trending? And I took a look, and a smile came upon my face immediately. Air Bud Remake.
Oh, it's coming
2026.
Back.
Now, I normally, remakes can be dangerous, but Air Bud is a classic. I have a lot of questions with this, Drew. I don't know if you've done some digging or not, but it's a flat-out remake.
It sounds
clearly,
like
clearly, do we know if there's at least the bloodlines to the same Golden Retriever?
You want
know
it
what
to
I
be
mean?
Like actually related?
Yeah, I want the Air Bud Golden Retriever. I want some
it's
connection.
The puppy.
I want some connection to the, 1998 Air Bud Golden Retriever, okay? I need to find out that this is the puppy's puppy or something, you know?
Literally one of my favorite photos of my wife is when she's a kid, she's at a Blockbuster video taking a photo with the real Beethoven. And I don't know why I love that photo so much. Dude.
That's great. That's
it's
great.
It's such a good
Air
photo.
Air Bud was one of my favorite movies as a kid. Very sad. That clown was a POS. All
oh,
of it.
Dude, total trash.
Yeah.
Don't forget, by the way, coming up on August 8th, we'll be live out at Hollywood Casino. The Fan will be live at Hollywood Casino, where us plus The Drive will be broadcasting live from the sportsbook inside there. We'll be registering fans to win a signed Charles Omenihue football, plus a pair of tickets to Chiefs and Colts. So be sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X, and enter their giveaway on August 7th for a chance to win $100 in pin cash on August 8th, every hour from 10 a.m., till 6 p.m. is we'll be there for 4 hours and the drive to 4 hours after that. Hope to see you out there at Hollywood Casino. Golden Knight tearing up the craps table, you know?
That's right.
Right at 2 o'clock, baby.
Gonna have to do something like that. Hey, coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we're going to be joined by Ken Golden. And this will be kind of fun. So Ken Golden is the founder an owner of Golden Auctions. You know, the Caitlin Clark card, Cody, is on Golden Auction right now with about 16 days to go. So Caitlin Clark 101. There's also a bunch of other amazing items. But I want to talk to him about this Caitlin Clark card and also about Patrick Mahomes, about Bobby Wood Jr. And then because today it's timely, I'm guessing Hulk Hogan stuff is going up in price too. Based off, this is what happens when you, when somebody passes away.
You've got memorabilia today.
So we'll have Ken Golden joining us from Golden here at 12:30. Before we get to Drew's camp questions, we know there's going to be somebody that finished last in their division in the NFL last year that wins it. You're like, how do I know this? Well, the numbers would say it's very likely to happen. There has been some team in the NFL in 19 of the last 22 seasons.
It's crazy.
Where that team went from worst to first. Two teams have done it in the same season, by the way, five different times. So it doesn't just have to be one. In total, it has happened 25 times since 2002. So you're asking, all right, well, who are those candidates this year? The worst to first teams that could pull it off that are eligible, New England, Cleveland,
no.
Vegas,
no.
Tennessee,
no.
The Giants,
no.
New Orleans, and then the two possibilities, San Francisco, who are actually favorites to win the West anyway, over the Rams, and then the Chicago Bears. In order of likelihood, San Francisco would have to be at the top of the list.
By a mile.
Just because they're just a better football team. They had tons of injuries. And
although I still don't like their wide receiver room, and it continues to get hurt this preseason.
Right, right. So I would go San Francisco 1. Chicago, just because Minnesota won 14 games last year, but now they have essentially a rookie quarterback. I know it's second year, but J.J.
Detroit
McCarthy.
Without Ben Johnson.
Detroit
just
loses their
that.
OC and D.C. They lost their center retired. They also just had a defensive tackle get hurt. That would be the second most likely. Third, before everybody freaks out, doesn't mean I'm betting it to happen. But if we're asking what's most likely of New England, Cleveland, Tennessee, Vegas, and the Giants, I would put the Raiders at number three on this list.
I'd probably put Tennessee and just bank on the
ooh, a rookie
Cam Ward has the juice.
Okay.
Rookie quarterbacks win the division sometimes.
I mean, Jane Daniels was amazing last year, and he still didn't do it.
No, yeah. I mean, look.
He had a career year.
Well, the Eagles were the best team in football.
You're saying, and I'll give you this, that there's no Eagles in the AFC South.
Correct.
100% with you.
The worst
the Texans
case
are vulnerable.
The Texans, a 10-7 win team for a quarterback who took a half a step back. So part of it is definitely that, mm-hmm. not just because if they were in the Eagles division, I wouldn't even be entertaining it because that's the problem where you're like, who's the most likely? Is there a world in which Geno Smith ever wins a division over Patrick Mahomes? And my answer to that is no. That universe does not exist. That multiverse does not exist. I go to as many planes as I want
right.
in which it doesn't happen. And so, like, I just don't envision that one out of there. The 49ers are the obvious thing. The question I have about the Bears is that sometimes this is, like, the fading the public part of it, not from a gambling perspective, but from, like, a personal stuff, is they got better. But I still don't fully understand that they think they've just got it all figured out. Rome Odunze did not have a good rookie year. Ryan Poles just got an extension, and I was like, but for what? Caleb Williams didn't show, like, that high-end potential at any point last year. Not that he didn't have some moments where he looked pretty good. Their offensive line is definitely better. That's the one area where I'll say, okay, they at least brought in Joe Tooney. They brought in some bodies in which I don't think Caleb Williams is going to get his teeth kicked in every week. But I'm still just not totally sold. I'm only getting year two of a head coach. I don't know if that's all there yet either, and I know it's not Eberflus, so I know it's not like a joke, but I don't know that it's there. They're probably second gold, but with almost no confidence. I feel like it's the 49ers or it's no one. It's going to be one of those. It's going to be 19 out of 23 years coming after this year. The 49ers, I don't think that anybody in the NFC South or NFC West blows me away. Like Sam Darnold and the Seahawks, okay. Stafford dinged up, okay. McVay and Stafford feels like a team that should win the division every year, and yet there's a lot of years where they're 9-8,
yeah.
7-10.
The schedule's really nice, too, for San Francisco.
Yeah, how do they start? Last play schedule. They finished 10.
How do they start? Did you have anybody have that in front of them? How do the Niners start? Because that plays a role, no doubt about it. I just think the Niners are clear. I mean, when you're the favorite to win the West, that's clearly the answer most likely of the team to go worst to first. All right, what's their first
All right,
four?
So they're at Seattle, at New Orleans. Home against Arizona, home against Jags.
Wow, oh, man. Wow.
I'm not saying they're guaranteed to go 4-0, but would it surprise you at all if they go 4-0?
No, it's a good chance to do it.
I mean, in a weird way, I feel like they almost need to go 3-1, though, if you want to tell me that they're going to be a 12-win team.
Then it's a tougher four-game stretch, but not as tough as any four-game stretch for the Chiefs, probably. At Rams, at Tampa, at home versus Atlanta, and at Houston. Okay, so that's difficult, right? We agree. That's a tough stretch. That's a playoff team, playoff team.
Then it's cake after that.
A team that we think could be better and a playoff team. Then it's Giants, the home game against the Rams, Arizona, Carolina, Cleveland, Tennessee, Indianapolis, and Chicago and Seattle.
Yeah.
Come on. That's about as soft as a schedule gets.
They're favorites to win the West for a lot of reasons. One,
they get
you
a
know,
late bye.
Is going to be they're going to have guys healthy, and Kyle Shanahan's a huge part of that. And then, yeah, that schedule is extremely favorable for
them.
Seems
like a safe team and survivor for, like, any number of weeks,
look,
6 through 13.
I mean, if we're just going through the names again, as we said, 19 of the last 22 seasons, the team's gone worst to first to win their division. The only three that I can even really – I guess I'll get you Tennessee, so four – that's, I mean, it's Chicago, it's San Fran, it's the Vegas, you know, it's Las Vegas. I'll give you Tennessee, I guess. There's no way New England's going to supplant Buffalo. There's no way Cleveland's going to go ahead of Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. The Giants, come on now. They're going over Dallas, maybe. They're going over the Commanders as well, maybe. They're going over the Eagles, Commanders, and the Cowboys. No chance.
That one's got to know. Like, there's a couple that are just no's. There's no universe. There's no world. There's nothing that exists in which, oh, here come the Cleveland Browns. Like, that's just not – it's just not going to happen.
If you're wondering, last year, no team did this. Even though it's been 19 of the last 22, last year, those teams did not.
Which makes you feel like
right?
It's happening.
Who would have been – am I right on that, or did somebody do that last year? The Chargers exceeded expectations. The Commanders exceeded, but they weren't.
They didn't win the division first.
Yes, I don't know if any. Yeah, I don't think any.
Are you
team,
sure the Commanders didn't? And they didn't go.
No,
first.
They didn't win the division.
Probably worse, but they didn't go to first.
So teams improved, but yeah, I don't think there was a team that went worse to first last.
We've got a bit of an imbalance in the league right now. Is part of what the story is, which is the same thing we talked about. It is difficult to predict different division winners in the AFC. Because Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson have been running shop. And I know that Lamar hasn't won the division every single year, but he's winning it at a higher rate than the other two guys, than Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, I got to assume, Drew. Without even looking at it, they've won more divisions in the last 5 years under Lamar Jackson, or 6 years under Lamar Jackson, than the other two, right?
I think so.
Or is
I think
it close?
I think the Ravens have won three out of the last five. It might be four of the last five. I'm not exactly sure.
Has Cincinnati what? Did they win the division the year they went to the AFC title game?
Yes.
Like that year they won 12 games or whatever?
Okay, so the Bengals won it in 21 and 22. So the Ravens have only won it two out of the last 4 years, which would be the last two. Okay.
And Cincinnati's won it two out of the last 4 years, and Pittsburgh's only won it once. But if you go back to 2016, then you've got more Baltimore's, more Pittsburgh's,
correct,
and less Cincinnati's.
Correct.
And I would say 26, like, I'm really counting it since all three of those quarterbacks have been in the division. Pittsburgh for whoever they've had a quarterback that entire time. But really since Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow entered the division, which was 2020, is that right?
Yeah, it's been the Steelers once, the
2019?
Ravens. Yeah, it was the Steelers in 2020. The Ravens in 2019. From 2019, Joe Burrow got drafted in 2020. Lamar, maybe 2 years ahead of that. It was Ravens, Steelers, Bengals, Bengals, Ravens, Ravens, the last two. The Steelers haven't won the division since 2020.
Like, I don't know, man. When I think about the division in the AFC, it never feels like the first or worst is coming over there. Because you have to take down Lamar. Like, if you're in the NFC, you got to take down Lamar, Burrow, and, I guess Aaron Rodgers. Good luck. Good luck, fourth place.
And if we're
team.
Talking
luck,
about
Cleveland.
Better run organizations, the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Ravens, their organizations are just run better.
Look, and I know someone took offense earlier in the text line when Gold said Miami stinks. Stinks is maybe a little strong, but they're not a division winning team.
They're a 7-9 win team. I guess maybe that doesn't stink. Fine, whatever. Like they're they were an 8-win team last year. I think they're a 7-9 win team again this year. I mean,
and that's not winning the
I think their fan base would probably rather stink than
fine,
be 7-10.
They're a very, very average football team.
I think the most interesting division in football is the Washington division. The NFC East is, I think, the most interesting division in football because it's can Washington do what they did? Do the Cowboys return to the 12-win team they were pretty much every year with Dak Prescott leading up to last year before he was hurt? Mm-hmm. And do the Eagles, who did lose a lot of talent, maintain their level of superiority over the division as well? That one
It's a fun division. I think the streak of there being a different division winner for 20 straight years ends, though. Like, I think the Cowboys will be better than we think, but I still think there's quite the gap there. The Commanders, to me, won't be as good this year. Not that Jane Daniels is going to fall off a cliff. I think it's going to be very difficult. They had so many veterans on that team last year. They've signed on one-year deals. And then now you're trying to, like, replicate that again. Mm-hmm. Then you're dealing with this Terry McLaurin stuff, which my guess is gets sorted out before the start of the season.
But
Terry McLaurin is your wide receiver room. I mean, after that, we went through it yesterday. I mean, it is bleak. It is really, really bleak.
Debo Samuel, a third rounder coming through immediately.
Last time we saw Debo Samuel at camp videos and stuff, everybody was saying he was overweight. I don't know if that's still the case.
He did look kind of big in that video, man.
Yeah, he looked like he had put on.
He was looking thick in that Washington minicamp, man. I'm not saying for sure that's what was going on, but yeah, it was looking rough.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Ken Golden from Golden Auction is going to join us. We'll talk about this Caitlin Clark card some more. We'll also talk about Patrick Mahomes and Bobby Wood Jr. If you're someone that's trying to collect them, if you're someone who just wants to know a little bit more about all that, we'll get into that in just a bit. But Drew's got a couple camp questions.
Camp questions.
All right, guys, I got three of them for you again. The first one, after Andy's comments, I don't know if this is just me, but I think I'm drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit more on Travis Kelce now.
Ooh,
after Andy's comments and everything like that.
You know, I've never left.
Does he get to 90 receptions again to break that record for Larry Fitzgerald?
90 and 1,000. He's back. 94,000,
Drew. I think I'm there with you, Cody. I think I'm there.
He's back. Look, so, thin, spelt Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
You could have talked me into 900 like a month ago. He showed up to training camp. He showed up to some of those off-season workouts looking yoked.
Yeah, so I love what I'm hearing. Love what we're seeing so far. He definitely looks like he's moving around great, better than last year. That is all true. I think if you would have told me Rashee Rice was not getting suspended this year, which we know he is going to, if you would have told me he's not getting suspended, I would have said tougher. No, for sure. The fact that Rice is probably going to miss, we think, maybe the first four or more, means that the offense is possibly going to run through Worthy and Kelce the first couple weeks of the season, which should help the targets. I will say that's what has me leaning back towards it. Not that I heard Andy Reid say he looks like he's 20, but it's mainly because we know when Rice is on the field, the offense is going to run through him, not Travis Kelce. But if he's not on the field for a month, then I have to change my opinion
a little bit.
It's
going to run through a different guy. Travis Kelce. It's always been Travis Kelce.
I don't think he's having a 1,000-yard season necessarily. I mean, last year.
What would you put the over-under at for you? 800 and a half?
I think the 90 catches is there for sure with Rashee suspended.
If you set the over-under on 850 and a half, I would probably still take the over because Rice is going to be unavailable. If you set it at like 995 and a half, I'm taking the under. If you set it at 92 and a half receptions, I'm taking the under. Would you guys take the over?
I take the over. He had more than that last year. He had 97 catches last year.
But Rice was also gone for 14.
Yeah,
correct.
You know, that's my whole thing I'm trying to figure out.
That's how much the number he lands on every year.
Yeah, how much do I factor in the Rashee Rice absence?
I gotta be honest.
I think that's the big one. I think the big one is the fact if he's suspended four games or even, dare I say, six, then I think Travis gets it.
Drew, your guy, you know, you got Jake Brenningstuhl, you got Noah Gray, Jaquarius Spivey, who won't make the team probably, but you got a bunch of wide receivers working in the mix.
The thing you don't think about with Travis Kelce's yardage is last year he caught just as many passes as he normally
catches. Yards per reception way
down. They target him just as much. Yeah, the whole offense's yards per catch stunk. Yep. And so, like, if I think he's getting in the 90 catch range, here's his last since 2018. 103, 97, 105, 92, 110, 93, and 97. Last year, he had 97 catches for 823. Year before, he had four less catches for 150 more yards by simply just averaging two additional yards per catch. Mm. And so, like, unless I think he's going to be 8.5 yards a catch this year, I don't. I think his numbers will be in the 900 to 1,000 range. I think it'll be right at 1,000 again, just based on he'll catch the ball for more yards. Sorry.
All right,
Next question.
So question number two. What position group? We've heard some people have texted in about the running back room and how concerned they are. I don't know if this is where that falls in for you, but what position group are you most concerned about right now?
Yeah, so it's not running back. I understand that we maybe don't like the room overall, but I'm not concerned about it. I also think Isaiah Pacheco with a full offseason of being healthy now, I think he's going to be back to that 900 to 950 back, and he'll be just fine. And they've got some guys that can serve different roles. So it's not that. This is going to be, like, the most obvious answer. I hate to do it. Like, of course, it's still the offensive line left tackle group, right? Like, I mean, it's left tackle. Come on. Like, it's the number one story heading into camp. It still is today. That has to be the group. I'll go there because they've had five different left tackles in 5 years.
I think you can make an argument for defensive end. Because today, at the first day
questions.
Or day three install or inside of that, Mike Dana is still running with the ones. It was Mike Dana on the outside, opposite, obviously, George Karlaftis. We know that Charles Omenihu will also be the guy who lines up on the outside. But Charles Omenihu has not been healthy. Mike Dana is coming off a bad year. Ashton Gelati has been running with the third and fourth team. So, like,
FAU,
his immediate
knows?
Impact seems lowish. You know, it's a little more of an unknown, Drew.
All right, and then the final question for you. I'm curious. Last year, you know, we had the punt god, if you will, was running around
Matt
after
Ariza.
Practice. Matt Ariza,
mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been anybody running around after practice that you guys have seen on the practice?
Not yet. Now, it's early, Drew. You know, they haven't even put
curious.
On pads yet or anything like that. Yeah. I believe that happened towards the end of camp last year, and it was towards the 1 o'clock hour. So I think if it happens, we're going to have to wait a couple weeks.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, nobody else. It's just, if right now it's just Cody and I. We've got some members
and
of the Chiefs ground crew, a lot of bugs and spiders. And, yeah, they're painting the lines a little bit again. They're filling in some holes on the grass because we did get some rain throughout practice off and on today. So, yeah, nothing so far, man.
Nobody running right. So far, but fine, meticulous
Cody, you
care.
Can go out there. Go for it, buddy.
You want me to just go
right
for a
out
jog?
There? Yeah,
absolutely,
go get a,
yeah.
Go
take
all the way
to
there
and
back.
Well,
there and back.
How do you think I could do – how quickly do you think I could do 200 yards there and back if I was
there
trying?
And back, I think the segment would be over by the time you got back.
And we go to break in like 2 minutes?
Yep.
So you give me – wait, were you going to break it like 26 and actually
no,
give
we
me
got
a chance?
No, we have a guest coming up. We can't
oh,
be
late. Man.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll wait. I'll wait till I want like –
there's also people – I don't think you can just jump over this fence and run back and forth.
That would
These
be bold.
These guys might have an issue with it.
Yeah, that would be bold.
I don't know. What are they
actually, I would love for you to – I would hope that out of nowhere somebody just came and tackled you. Oh,
like,
my God.
I don't
God.
Even see him just blindsided.
Oh, it'd be the most amazing video. Oh, yeah, you see – they don't know who you are. Someone just comes out of nowhere – and just lays you out.
I've punted on this field.
Yep.
I've attempted to kick field goal on this field. I haven't hit the sled yet. That's the one thing I'm missing.
People on the text line are wagering. They said this time next week, Cody will have a shirtless Chief in his camera roll on his phone.
Oh, my goodness.
You never know.
It could happen.
You never know. I deleted that photo of Matt Ariza last year.
Did you?
I respect his privacy now.
All right. Up next, we're going to be joined by Ken Golden from Golden Auctions. I want to talk a little bit more about this Caitlin Clark card. You guys know we've been talking about for months now. Find out how the card is doing in the auction. Find out about Caitlin Clark's market. And what's the market like for somebody like Patrick Mahomes? That's coming up next here on Cody and Gold. All right, we are back live in St. Joe, side of Chiefs training camp. Another practice in the books. Appreciate Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy for joining us on the show earlier today. If you missed our conversation with him, that's coming up again around 1:35 as he spoke a lot about last season and now what the next step looked like for him in his Year 2 campaign in a Chiefs uniform. Of course, our training camp coverage here is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. And we'll get to the random question of the day in about 10 minutes or so. But you guys know we've been talking a ton about this Caitlin Clark card.
Yes,
right?
We have.
Got it from a break. End of April, very excited. It's been a process. Got to get it graded. Went to Golden Auction. We've been talking about them a lot as well. There's their Netflix show is also kind of how a lot of people, I think, maybe have heard of Golden. And so we're excited to have Ken Golden, the founder and CEO of Golden, join us now live on 96.5 The Fan. Ken, great to have you on. This Caitlin Clark card, if you listen to this show at all, our listeners by now know all about this card. And every day I get a message asking me, Ken, all right, how's the auction going? Well, the auction finally started, and we got about 16 days or so to go. And we're sitting at $2,000 right now. We're working towards, obviously, a good conclusion.
Yeah, the card right now is looking at you know, it's the logo woman, right? Which card is it?
So the logo woman is obviously the one we can get to as well. My card, I wish it was the logo woman. Mine's the Caitlin Clark gold insert 101 that was pulled from the national. That one is listed right now. But yeah, we can talk about the logo woman as well because that's the one that everybody's talking about.
Sure. So do you have the lot number in your card? They didn't give me that one.
Oh yeah, no worries. 557. 557.
Okay, let me get to that. Okay. So, but look, this is my viewpoint in general with Caitlin Clark cards. You know, I actually thought that when she came into the NBA, the WNBA, that her value would go down. And I was one of those people, and I'm quoted as such, saying that I thought that the peak of her interest would be when she was in college and setting all the records. And I obviously could not possibly have been more wrong. It is really, it's amazing to me the number of people, that are going out there and purchasing Caitlin Clark cards, spending money on Caitlin Clark cards, you know, basically comparing her to, you know, it's like buying a Steph Curry card to them. And it's just, she's become an absolute game changer in the world of sports cards. And I think that she has transcended just being an athlete to being considered, you know, iconic, you know, the way Jordan is in basketball, the way Gretzky is in hockey, and the way, let's say, Tiger Woods is in golf. And that is just remarkable.
Amongst all athletes, I guess, just in total, where is she amongst just like the favorite for anybody to pick in any sport? Because like you said, it sounds like anymore, it has nothing to do with what league she's playing in. She's just one of the most collectible people there are.
Yeah, I mean, it really started for women's sports with Serena Williams, and you know her cards were just going crazy. But I think what Caitlin Clark has managed to do, which a lot of other athletes have not managed to do, is bring a audience into the collecting world that are spending money that never previously bought a card. So you've got people spending money on her cards, a lot of girls, a lot of moms and dads for their girls, and a lot of women that had never bought a card. So that automatically increases the value of, increases the pie and therefore increases the audience. And with, old school collectors, basically you're looking at a situation where it's kind of been like an acceptance, where they've come out and they weren't initially buying it. You know, they said, oh, this is going to fade. I don't know why her cards are going for so much more money. And all of a sudden, record after record after record. And when we start selling cards for $50,000, then $90,000, then $100,000, then $366,000 for a card of Caitlin Clark, people are saying, holy cow, this is something I've got to pay attention to. I've got to get on this bandwagon. So now, to people who are true hobbyists, buying a Caitlin Clark card would be no difference to them than buying a LeBron card, a Steph Curry card, a Mahomes card, an Ohtani card.
Talking to Kent Golden from Golden here on 96.5 The Fan. I'll say this, because you mentioned the Logo Woman card that right now is $180,000. It's lot number one in this July Elite Auction. My card, obviously, not near that level. The fact that you have that card in the same auction, I kind of love it. I think it's going to bring more attention to even my card.
Oh, it does. The rising tide lifts all boats. And if that card is in an auction, and let's say that card goes for $400,000 or $300,000 or $500,000, whatever it goes for, people who can't afford it are going to say, damn, I've got to buy a Clark rookie. I've got to buy, a special limited number. I can't afford that, but maybe I can afford, $5,000 or $2,500 or $10,000.
When you look at, just to talk him off, the way these auctions work, he's, you get a few bids early, then it kind of hovers for a little bit. There's always some late action, right? I don't want Alex to get worried.
No, exactly. First of all, the good thing is that the card is it's a one of one. So that is certainly very important. So anytime you get a one of one, you're always going to get somebody who wants to do it. Let me just look at the number of bids. So you've got the bid history. I'm going to pull it up right here. Okay. So we have 16 and a half days left in the auction. And typically what people do is they camp out. You got those people who bid early, and you got almost all those bids in the first 48 hours. And then you got people who look the final week. So this thing ends August 9th, which also is strategically planned because it is the weekend after the National Sports Collectors Convention.
Yeah.
So all these people are going to be hyped up. They're going to see what's at the National. They're going to get the catalog. They're going to see what's on display, and they're going to go in and buy it. And we've had items that literally have been $1,000, $2,000, and on the final night, just an extended bidding, sell for $40,000, $50,000.
Now, we're in Kansas City, Ken. We're at training camp right now. And maybe you're an Eagles guy. We can avoid that in Kansas City. We don't need to talk about that. Maybe if you're an Eagles guy. But I must say, Patrick Mahomes, that market obviously is not going anywhere either. What right now would you say for someone that is trying to start a Mahomes collection? How do you go about doing that? Is it too late to be part of that?
No, it's not too late. This is why. And this is, you know, it's really a weird thing in trading cards. You know, people are always looking for the shiny new toy. They're looking for the shiny new toy. So they're looking for the next, you know, great thing, whether it's Jaden Daniels or whether it's somebody else. And you saw this, you know, with Josh Allen. And you saw it with Burrow. And you saw it with Herbert. All great quarterbacks. Okay. But we saw it with that group, and to me, you know, I did a video about Mahomes, and I said, look, this guy can win five. He's a sure thing. He can win five Super Bowls. He's going to be there almost every single year. Why take a risk on unproven quarterbacks who may never win, you know, the big one? You've got one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, somebody who might if he stays healthy and if the Eagles fall off the planet, you know, can compete with Tom Brady for Super Bowl victories. So, you know, I think that his prices have actually come down a little bit, and I think now is a much better time to buy than maybe 2 years ago after a Super Bowl victory.
You guys are obviously starting season three of your new Netflix or your Netflix show coming up here pretty soon. How have you seen the hobby grow since the beginning of that? You guys started a few years back. I imagine just in the last 3 years, the boom has been incredible.
Yes, no, it's been remarkable. It has been a situation where, to put it in perspective, you know, you're looking at over 30 million people that have watched King of Collectibles. So you can imagine how many emails we get, how many leads we get, but also the interest in the hobby. I have so many people come to me at the national convention and say they're in this business. You know, they're collecting because of me, because they watch the show. So many people fly, you know, to Chicago or elsewhere and say that they are going to be, you know, that they flew in just because they heard I was going to be there. And the proof is really in the pudding, right? I've been in business at Golden, started Golden in 2012. Our first Netflix show, I think, aired April 28th, 2023. Okay. So over 50% of everybody registered at Golden, it might be over 60% now, could be as high as 70% now because it's more every day, registered after our first episode dropped.
Wow. Yeah.
So It really gave us a worldwide audience. It, you know, made Golden Auctions a household name. You know, everyone goes to golden.com to check it out. Whenever the new season drops, our traffic jumps up, you know, 20 to 50 times.
When the two things I wanted to ask you, Ken, just like they're related. One, you've seen a lot of cool stuff come through your auction. So what's the one thing I guess you wish that you had owned? And are you ever surprised by the things that catch heat for a while and become a huge part of the auction? Like, let's take the Labubu, for instance, right? You probably didn't have that on your radar a year ago as something that was become this massive collectible high bid item. So I'm kind of curious about both those things.
Yes. You know, so first of all, the one thing I wish I bought was in 2016 when I sold the T206 Wagner, the Jumbo Wagner 5 for $3 million. I have a complete T206 set missing the Wagner, and that $3 million card today is worth over $20 million. So that without a doubt, would be something I wish.
Yeah, you could have turned that one around if you wanted to. Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, the Labubus, no, I never heard of it until 2 months ago. My daughter starts mentioning it and I noticed it, and obviously they're going for big bucks, but I think the all time champ, and we have a rare one in our current auction right now. But obviously, look, let's face it, you know, and I have to run to a sales meeting after this one, but the item that will be very, very tough to top is when you have a flaming hot Cheeto. And you sell it for $87,000.
Unbelievable. Ken Golden from Golden. Appreciate the time. We'll see how this Caitlin Clark card goes. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and everybody, go to golden.com and check out Caitlin Clark and everything else we have there.
Awesome. There you go. That's Ken Golden from Golden Auctions joining us on the show today. And
Were they the one who sold the Charizard, Cheeto? Was that them?
I think that's kind of what he was alluding to a little bit there.
Do you remember that? Well.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But it's kind of crazy. Like, you go and look, the logo woman Caitlin Clark Carty's talking about, it might go for $400,000.
Oh, my gosh.
The Caitlin Clark.
This thing. Woman. This flaming hot Cheeto.
Yeah.
That looks shaped like Charizard. Sold for $87,840. Has that thing appreciated in value?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Depreciated? Could that person get their money's worth out of it?
Yeah. People are asking on the text line that they went to the site, which Caitlin Clark card is mine. It's, as I told you, lot number 557. It's the only one that is all gold, fittingly.
Yeah.
It's the only one that's all gold. And it's at 2,000 right now. 16 days to go. We got a long ways to go on this thing. But we will keep an eye on it, man. We'll have updates the next couple weeks. So thanks to Ken for joining us. Josh Verner's going to join us to talk some Royals baseball 1 o'clock, but he's already in studio. We're in St. Joe. He's back in the studio. He wants to join us for a little random question of the day. This is perfect.
Random question.
Of course, for you, Gold, you drew over and Vern as well, and the text line 913-586-7965. Random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. Vern, I'll ask you your own mini random question first because I know the answer to both Alex and Drew is somehow zero. I got stung by like 10 bees yesterday mowing the grass. Can you tell me the last time you were stung by a bee?
It's been a long time. I would say 20 years.
20 years?
Maybe longer than that. I think I was in high school maybe cutting the grass.
Okay. I ran over a nest yesterday and immediately was engulfed in bees. Oh, man, it sucks so bad. My legs still hurt from all the bees yesterday. So I sent him. I'll send you the video, Vern. You can see them just, like, buzzing around. It took
a few please.
Well, because I was confused. I was like, did I get poked by a stick? You know, you're mowing, you got headphones on. You're like, ow, what hurts?
No, it sounds funny. And then all of a sudden,
bees. it was pretty terrifying. Again, I told you, I almost got my grilled, man. I got to be careful. Good thing I'm not allergic, I guess. Outside of that. But the real random question of the day is related to Travis Kelce. Multiple people now who have been on the cast of Happy Gilmore 2 have complimented Travis Kelce's acting ability and professionalism across the board. So two-part question. One, how quickly will you watch Happy Gilmore 2? And second, what is your excitement level for that sequel 30 years after the original?
Yeah, so I'll definitely watch it. And it comes out tomorrow, is that right?
Tomorrow.
Tonight? Yeah, so I'll watch it at some point randomly this weekend. Excitement level?
But you're going to be first weekend guy. That's pretty high.
I'll watch it this weekend. Also, I'll watch it this weekend because we'll probably talk about it on the show on Monday. But I would say excitement level on a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably like a 6.5 or a 7. I'm not like, oh, my gosh, I got to like have to watch it immediately.
Is it your favorite Adam Sandler movie?
Ooh, that's old. It is. That's number one or two. I don't think this is his best, but Big Daddy is still one of those I love.
Okay.
That's a classic.
I was got a little heart.
The
you know?
GD Jets is one of my favorite moments of the entire show. What about you, Vern?
It's. I'll never forget when I first watched Happy Gilmore. How hard I laughed! I think Billy Madison might be my favorite. I was just the perfect age, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, when those movies were coming out. I'm so very nervous to watch the new one.
Same.
Especially when I watch the preview. The preview showing so many callbacks to the first one. I'm like, I don't want to see the first one again. The first one is perfect. Do something different. Don't get into another fight with an old man. It seems like they're just regurgitating everything that we saw in the first. So I will not watch it this weekend. Maybe the next off day. For the Royals, I'll take it in, but I'm very nervous. You know, it's a lot like the Coming to America, too. It's just, man, for as great as the idea sounds, the first one was so perfect, I kind of wish they would leave it alone.
I got to say, with Coming to America,
there's too many cameos. Travis might be a great actor, but there's too many non-actors to where, you know, a lot like his... The movie that he did with, Grown-Ups and Grown-Ups 2, where it's just one cameo after another, and it never feels like a movie. It's more like a SNL skit.
Yeah, like, I understand the desire to have these people in your movies. And I imagine at this point, anybody, Vern, who's our age or around our age, they all want to be in an Adam Sandler movie. Just
of
to be
course.
Like, I was in an Adam Sandler movie.
Right.
a person like I remember for Christmas one year getting his comedy album with the Thanksgiving song and all that stuff on it. I wore that thing out in middle school. So like I definitely, but like there's a part of me I never watched Coming to America 2. I kind of refused to let it sully the original version. I wouldn't do it.
I think it was terrible.
I couldn't do it.
I started and then bailed.
It was awful.
So I'm kind of tempted to just never watch this. Just never watch Happy Gilmore 2. That's part of the reason I'm asking.
Because you'll see the cool moments on social media.
But go into it thinking, it's like go into it thinking, if you go in thinking it's going to be great, then you're going to be let down. It's not going to be a great movie. We know that.
But I didn't need a remake of this. It, in its own standalone, worked.
Yeah.
It worked. Adam Sandler's been in a lot of good stuff since then. He can just make new stuff.
We get 20 or 30 years down the road, and everything's getting remade. Drew told us earlier they're remaking Air Bud, which I think is a classic as well. I don't need another Air Bud, but here we are.
Now I'll say this. The Naked Gun reboot, I was not a fan of the Naked Gun when I was young.
Okay.
But that preview actually looks really funny.
All right.
Like, that looks better than the... And I, you know, the 12-year-old me can't believe I'm saying this, but that actually looks more entertaining than the new Happy Gilmore. It's just, I feel like I'm going to see every joke coming at least 5 minutes before it happens. Right?
But again,
doesn't seem like it's going to be that set up.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I don't need you to get in a fight with Drew Carey or what, you know, like.
Right,
just,
you see
you know,
the preview where he's shaking hands with Chubbs' son,
yes.
And the son also has a wooden hand, and the fingers also break for him. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. That was a great moment when he originally breaks it. He's trying to glue it back together.
Yeah.
But I don't need the joke again. It already made me laugh.
You're right.
The first time. I'm actually with Vern. I think Billy Madison might be my favorite Adam Sandler movie of all time. The ludicrousness of like him going through a grade a week is almost just too perfect. I might reference that dodgeball scene 1,000 times a year.
Yeah, you're in big trouble. I think Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. Big Daddy to me is great. Mm-hmm. Mr. Deeds, if we're going a little more recent,
I like 50 First Dates.
Okay.
Spanglish, I thought was really good.
What did you think
He might be one of the most versatile guys that we don't give credit for being versatile.
Did you guys ever see Uncut Gems?
I did.
Woo. Gives me a heart attack.
Oh, yeah. I just started sweating you mentioning it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I actually thought the basketball movie on Netflix was better than Uncut Gems.
That was actually really good.
Did you see that one, Vern?
No, that was another one that I bailed on. If I had like a
hustle is what it's called.
Yeah,
hustle. Yeah.
If I had someone young with me that was, you know, impressionable, I thought it was a good message, but I'm a lost cause.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. I see what you're saying.
Oh man. Well, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out. That was it. That's the random question of the day. Keep it easy today. Just wanted to know everyone's. Drew didn't even answer. Drew, you want to see it?
He probably
doesn't even remember Happy Gilmore.
That's what I was wondering.
No. I've seen the first Happy Gilmore. I'm excited to see it. You know, obviously it being a golf movie makes it exciting. I love Adam Sandler. I think somebody texted in a response that I agree with. He might be the most underrated actor out there right now. Like, people tend to forget Adam Sandler, how good he actually is, until the movie comes out that he's in. And it's like, dang, he actually is that guy when it comes to what he does.
Funny People was great. I like that
a
lot.
I'm very excited about the Wedding Singer. I do agree, though, that you have to temper your expectations just knowing that there's going to be some jokes that were in the first movie that are going to come. You can't expect it to be a completely new movie, but you also don't want it to be the same thing. I can also respect that.
I'm just thinking about like how few good, like, you can always have an argument of best baseball movie of all time, Vern, and everybody has their own answers for that.
Mm-hmm.
But like golf movies, I mean, there's only like 4 we're debating.
Yeah, there's only a few.
Happy Gilmore, Tin Cup.
Tin Cup's the best.
Caddyshack, you know, like you're not really getting into some big, deep conversation about, because you can't highlight the golf is a slow game. You can't make it about the golf.
Right.
Nobody's out here arguing Legend of Bagger fans, and if you are,
it's
out of yourself.
Wow, did I waste
time? I think I saw about 30 minutes of that movie, and I was done. That's boring as hell.
I paid for that movie. I went to the theater for that movie. How could it miss Will Smith on
boring.
A heater right now?
So boring. Oh, it was
him and Matt Damon, he can't lose.
Yeah,
he's got a couple of whiffs.
Well, sure,
Will
you
Smith,
do as many movies
I know,
done.
But a couple of big whiffs, man.
Yeah, but he's also had some massive hits.
Nobody's ever watched Wild Wild West again.
I have.
Like recently?
Yeah, absolutely, man. That movie, it's on. It'll be like as a teenager and as a kid, it was on randomly on TV. I probably watched that 4 or 5 times.
Oh, and I definitely jammed out to Sisqo and Will Smith and Wild Wild West. The
soundtrack. I had the I had the going to Miami CD.
Oh, well,
absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, come on, Big Willie style.
That's right. All right, up next, Josh Vernier turns into our Royals insider again, and we will talk some Royals baseball, how this weekend could go, and what's going to happen next Tuesday at the deadline.